Well, good morning, church. I don't know about you, but I'm excited for this new year. I really am excited for this new year and to see what the Lord will bring into our lives and in the life of this church. I'm excited. Max said he was a little bit tired, but I'm full of energy. I'm excited for what the Lord will do. You know, I was really excited growing up when we would go visit my grandmother. I was just reminded of this as we went to my in-laws and just seeing my kids around their grandparents. And I was reminded of going to my grandmother's house during holidays and things. And one thing that I would always do right away, of course, I'd give her my grandmother a hug, and then I would go into her kitchen because she always had cookies in this cookie jar. I mean, always. And of course, I would take a cookie, but there would be something else that I would look forward to looking at. And I don't know how many of you have had this in your homes, kind of on the frame of a hallway, is where we would measure our height, our growth over the years. Anybody ever have that in their homes? Right? And so I remember just sitting there, like with a cookie in my mouth, kind of looking at how tall my uncle and aunt were, and even my mom was at certain times and periods of their life, and just dreaming, yeah, someday I want to be up here. I want to grow this much. And when I think about the new year, I think about growing in the Lord and desiring to grow in the Lord in some certain ways. If you're like most people around this time of year, how many people are already making New Year's resolutions? Anybody make those in your minds? Maybe you don't want to raise your hand to that, but I know in our minds we want to do. But perhaps we have some certain goals for ourselves in this coming year. But you know what I've learned. I think you already know this. Only about 8% of the people that make New Year's resolutions actually accomplish those things. Did you know that? And one reason why we don't accomplish them is because it becomes all about us and our own willpower, our own perhaps selfish ambition. And so I was kind of pondering that, of why we don't actually accomplish those things. And I was thinking, Lord, if we're going to go into this new year, what are some things that we as followers of Jesus should be pursuing? Right? Jesus in Philippians, it says that He got rid of all selfish ambition. He got rid of all selfish ambition, all of pride. He took on the form of this servant. He made himself nothing. And so I thought, you know what? That's what we want to do. We want to get rid of all selfishness, all selfish ambition. And there are some things in Scripture that God says to pursue. And these are some things I want to talk about in Colossians. I love the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. This is not really a sermon on setting New Year's resolutions. No, this is really, our conversation really this morning is all about reorienting our lives around Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to call us to this morning. And as we walk into this new year, is to really think about reorienting our lives around Jesus Christ. So let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. It reads like this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any one of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Every Saturday night, there's a retired pastor, this older man. He prays for you all here. Though he doesn't know you, he prays for you all here. And then he prays for me. He calls me 8:30 every Saturday night. So if you know, if you ever wonder what I'm doing at 8:30 on Saturday night, I'm on the phone with this man who prays, praying for our church and praying for me. And I told him what I was going to be speaking on, and he quoted this verse to me. And it was so good. You know, I've been reading this all week, but it was so good to hear this. And he said, you know, Ryan, this has been our family verse forever. And I was thinking this would be, if you want to memorize a portion of scripture or a portion of verses, this would be a good one to memorize as a couple or as a family entering into this new year. It's so good. Reminds us of so many things. Let me just pray one more time. Lord Jesus, as we think about this new year, God, you call us to put off some things and to put on some things. You call us to clothe ourselves. And so, God, in this new year, may we reorient our lives around you and the things that you want us to put on this year. Give us your power to do that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as we talk about this, like reorienting our lives around these things, I want us to know that this is not something that we do on our own strength. A lot of times these New Year's resolutions that no one keeps, it's all according to our own willpower, right? But this is these things that Paul talks about here to the church, to Christians, he's not saying you do this on your own. I have great news for you. This is not on your own. It takes a lot of pressure off you, doesn't it? Because in 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4, it says this, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. This is all dependent on God. This is all dependent on his divine power. And you have everything you need already in Christ. Isn't that good news, friends? This isn't about trying harder. This is about accessing and calling on God's divine power that's at work in our lives. So, in this coming year, what is the first thing that we see in Scripture that Paul says to put on? Like, if you're going shopping, looking for new clothes, this is what Paul says here to put on. He says in verse 14, love, put on love. I want to read this 12 through 14 again so we can hear it in its context. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. First, I wasn't going to mention this, but did you hear who you are in Christ? Don't forget this. As we go into a new year, don't forget who you are. Paul says that you are God's chosen people. He says that you are holy, set apart from him, and you are dearly loved. Some of you need to hear that over and over again. You are dearly loved. So therefore, he says, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And overall, listen to this, and overall, these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. How many of you have had a job where you had to wear a work uniform, or you play sports and you put on a uniform? You see, after the end of the day, you take that off. But what Paul is challenging us here is to clothe ourselves with these things. In verse 12, he mentions compassion, right? Compassion for others, sharing in another person's need. Perhaps this year you want to be a more compassionate person. You have God's divine power for that. kindness he mentions, showing extreme kindness. Is there someone in your life right now that you need to show extreme grace to, just as God has shown you grace? Is there someone in your life? Maybe two people in your life? Or more than two, right? Show extreme kindness this year. Humility. Christ humbled himself, taking on the form of a servant. These are all things that he wants us to put on. Gentleness. This is kind of an inward gentleness. And patience, this ability to wait without getting worked up. Who needs more of that in their life this year? And to be long-suffering. I need that. Right? I kind of call these things here in verse 12 our clothing accessories. Clothing accessories. You know, some of you like accessories. I like hats, and so I'll go and I'll look for that kind of accessory. But the thing that binds all these together is love. If you love, these are the accessories that will be a part of your life that you are to clothe yourself with. Verse 13, he talks about bearing with one another. Right? If you love, you will bear with one another. You will have patience. You'll be long-suffering with one another. He says to forgive just as Christ forgave you. I was talking with someone not long ago and they said, you know what, I have trouble forgiving someone. I began to think, and maybe I'll ask you the same thing, is there something in your life that Christ has not forgiven you from? Is there something in your life that Christ has not forgiven you from? Is there anything? No. And so as we go into this new year, put on forgiveness. Love in this way, just as Christ has so radically forgiven us. I began to think about this person that is talking to me about his problems with not being able to forgive. And the walls, I can see it in his life. And perhaps you can see this in people's lives too. The walls that this person has built up because of years and years of unforgiveness in his heart. You can be assured if we have unforgiveness in our heart, there'll be walls of bitterness. There'll be a wall of envy. There'll be a wall of pride. There'll be a wall of anger when we don't forgive. There's severe consequences when we don't forgive. And so Paul says to put these things on. And he says the one that binds all these things, all these accessories, all these things together is love. Love. You know, the mark of a close follower of Jesus, the mark of a church, what is it, friends? What is it? Let's say it all together. The mark of a follower of Jesus is love. That is the mark. So, friends, Paul is challenging us, and I feel challenged this in this new year to put these things on and to love in such a way where I display this radical compassion with my children. They're in the room this morning, and they can hold me account to that. To love in such a radical way where I give grace to people that I need to give grace to. To be long-suffering. The second thing this morning is verse 15. In this new year, dress in this a peaceful heart, he says. He talks about peace here in verse 15. And I want to kind of camp on here for a little bit. It says this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful, and be thankful. You know, the kind of peace that is talked about in the Bible is two different kinds of peace. There's peace with God, being reconciled to God, being made right with God, and we are all called to that. And then there's this kind of peace that he talks about in here, this kind of inner kind of peace, this tranquility, if you will. This is the kind of peace that Paul is talking about here. Paul is talking about how this kind of inner peace should be a part of the body of Christ. Because when we are not embracing the peace that Christ brings, guess what? There's dissension. There's unity. When you're not living according to the peace that God is able to bring in your life, in your marriage, is there harmony? Is there unity in marriage? No, there's dissension. And so he says, let this kind of peace rule in your hearts. You know, this kind of peace, as I begin to think about it and read about it and pray about it, this kind of peace that God brings is amazing. That's why Scripture says it's peace that transcends all understanding. All understanding. You know, Christ's peace helps us endure. Helps us endure some very difficult times. Christ's peace is an unending source of strength in our lives. It's an unending source of strength in our lives. Some of you remember the story about Stephen. He was the first Christian martyr in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 7. And he's standing at a cliff and people have stones and they're going to stone him because of his faith in Jesus Christ. And you know what he prays as he's up there on that cliff and they're about to throw rocks at him and push him over the cliff and he's about to die for Christ's sake? You know what he says to them? He says, Father, forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. How can he say that in that moment? How many of you had an argument this last year with your spouse or something, or some challenging situation with your kid? Did you say that in that moment? Were you able to say that? And here he is. Here he is in that moment, this really intense moment. He's got, obviously, this peace of God in his life. Another person in the Bible that really shows us this is the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians. He says this, he says, five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes, three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned three times, I was shipwrecked, a night and day I have spent in the deep, I've been on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there's always this daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? So Paul, he's experienced all these things, and yet he has this amazing amount of peace. In 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 11, he says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal body. Flesh. How is he able to say those words, friends? He has the peace of Christ that Christ brings into our lives. And so he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Paul's experienced this peace that is ours, well, right, through the divine power of God. Paul didn't really focus on his problems, did he? He focused on Christ and this peace that is able to sustain him, especially through trials. That's why he's able to say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, right? Why is he able to say that? Because he's experiencing this kind of peace, the supernatural kind of peace. And he says, friends, church, like, listen to this. Let it rule your hearts. If you're not going to hear anything today, maybe you hear this one thing. Let the peace of God in this new year rule your hearts. That word rule, some of you know that word rule. I love this. It means umpire or referee or judge. Let it determine your actions. So there's no doubt that many of us will have to make major decisions in this coming year. So how do we do that? How do we have the peace of Christ rule, have it be the umpire in our lives? Well, one way is when we come to making major decisions in our life. Making major decisions. We can ask the Lord. We can say what my wife always says to me, have you prayed about this? Have you prayed about this? Do you have a sense of peace from God about this decision that you're going to make? Another good question to ask when you're making a big decision and wanting the peace of God is, will this decision keep me from growing in the character of Christ? Will it keep me from putting on all of these accessories of compassion and humility? Will it keep me from that? Or will it help me gain those accessories in my life? We can have, God will come and he will give us that sense of peace just as he gave Paul. Just as he gave Paul. So I said all that and I was thinking, I could try to put those things on, but how does that work? How do I get that, right? I mean, when it comes down, when it boils down to it, how do I get that kind of peace? Isaiah 26, verse 3, you should underline this in your Bible. It says, you will keep me in perfect peace, those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you. God will keep us. He will give us his peace. He will shower us with his peace as our minds are steadfast on him. So perhaps in this new year, you can ask the Lord, Lord, would you help me keep my mind steadfast on you? Would you help me keep my mind thinking about the things above and what you're doing in my life? And God will bring his peace, no doubt. If he did it for the Apostle Paul, if he's done it for you already, I know you've already experienced peace that transcends all understanding. He'll do it again. Did you hear me? He will do it again this year. Keep your mind steadfast on him. The third thing we see in this, and I don't want us to miss this, it's the very last verse here, or very last word in verse 15. A thankful heart. It's in the same sentence as peace. A thankful heart. How many of you parents and grandparents or even kids here this morning, you're sitting around the dinner table and you remember a kid saying, I don't really want to eat this. I'm not hungry for this. Right? And you as a parent, what have you said to your kids? Would you understand? There's kids all around the world that don't have... How many of you said that? what you were upset about and what you were detecting in your kids. My kids are looking at me. Because if we're all honest, even as adults, some of us haven't matured. And we don't have a thankful heart. The opposite of a thankful heart is pride. And it blinds us to what God has given us, in what God has provided for us. That's why Paul, one of those accessories I talked about, says we should put on humility. Right? In this coming year, put on humility. Because when you humble yourself before God, then you realize that everything we have, everything you have, even the stuff on the table that you don't like to eat, comes from God. It's a gift that comes from God, and we should be thankful. And so if you're going to put something on this year, let it be the thankfulness of God, this intense thankfulness. I mean, Christians, we should be the most thankful people on this earth, right? We should be the most thankful people because we know where all this has come from. Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I think that when we give thanks in all circumstances, that we will experience this peace of God that he brings into our lives. I mean, just ask the Apostle Paul. We can see that over and over again in his life. So in this new year, put on thankfulness. The fourth thing this morning is, in this new year, fill your heart with God's word. Fill your heart with God's word. If you're thinking about how to reorient your life, there's nothing better than reorienting your life around God's word. How many of you in your homes, when you get up at night to use the bathroom or get a drink of water, whatever you do, getting up at night, whatever you're doing, how many of you have to turn on every light in your home to see? Probably none of us. It's because we live there, right? We know the place where we're going to stub our toe. And so we walk and we make a wide turn around that. We don't even have to feel our way down the hallway. We just know what is there. Even when I go back to my childhood home where my mom still lives, I can wake up in the middle of the night and not worry about anything because I lived there. I lived there. I dwelt there. If you're going to put on anything this year, live in God's word. Live in God's word. Live in God's word. I was talking with a brother this morning. I love when he told me that he's listening to God's word with his earbuds, and he's also reading God's. He's opening up his Bible as he's listening to it as well and reading right along. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, right? And a light unto my path. Friends, I say fill your life with God's word along with the Apostle Paul, because God's word is sufficient for everything we need in this life. Amen? It really is. I mean, have you ever been talking to someone and they gave you a scripture from God's word, and it just lifted you, and it just encouraged you, and the peace of God washed over you? Has that ever happened to you? That's the peace. That's God's word doing that. Or perhaps you gave a scripture to someone, and they said this. They said, oh, that's just what I needed. Has that ever happened to you before? That's the peace of God in his word. God's word leads us to salvation. God's word encourages us. God's word brings us joy. Psalm 119:165 says, those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. The Apostle Paul must have had a great love for God and his word, because even in difficulty, does not stumble. And so have a great love. Fill your life. Live in Christ, in God's this word. Perhaps you want to start reading through the Bible this year. There's lots of great resources on the internet for that, to read through the whole Bible in one year. If you don't have a reading plan, I can give you one. But put on God's word. Fill your life with God's word this year. The fifth and final thing before we take communion is, in this new year, trust in the power of Christ. In this new year, trust in the power of Christ. Look at verse 17. It says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever you do, do it according to the power of Christ. Whatever you do. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether then you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all in the glory of God. Proverbs 3:6 reminds us to acknowledge him, acknowledge God, acknowledge his power, and he will make your path straight. So in the coming year, friends, put on love. If you're wondering how to reorient your life, put on love. Pursue the love of Christ. Pursue the love of God's word. Pursue his peace, which will strengthen you in this life.